problem arises from the fact that everybody thinks that everything is realized in such a liberal and positive way in Holland that there's no need to talk about it anymore, nor to make a specific point of the fact that you're gay. When you're talking about it in schools, a lot of times colleagues and also the management will say, why do you want to bring it up? I don't bring up my heterosexuality all the time.
There's nothing that can be as difficult as coming out, or at least that's what it looks like when you're 16.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Same-gender couples are blessed and cursed on three continents, U.S. Presbyterians' roller coaster to a delayed gay ordination decision, and all's not rosy for queer kids in Tulip Land. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting the lesbian and gay community for the week ending May 31st, 2003. Despite the new Archbishop of Canterbury's belief that a strong case can be made for Anglican recognition of gay and lesbian couples, the primates of the 70-million-member worldwide church this week once again came out against it. In a pastoral letter following their closed meeting in Brazil last week, they cited a lack of theological consensus and potential for divisive controversy in declaring they could not authorize public rites for the blessing of same-sex unions.
But also this week, the main target of the statement, Bishop Michael Ingham of Canada's Vancouver area New Westminster Diocese, proceeded to authorize clergy in six of his parishes to perform a rite for the celebration of gay and lesbian covenants as previously approved by the diocesan synod. Ingham's letter said, "This is not a marriage ceremony, but a blessing of permanent and faithful commitments between persons of the same sex in order that they may have the support and encouragement of the church in their lives together under God." Archbishop Rowan Williams reacted with sadness and disquiet and said he regretted the inevitable tension and division that will result from Ingham's move.
But it was a happy one for gay Anglican couple Michael Kalmuck and Kelly Montfort, whose relationship of more than 20 years was the first to be blessed in the New Westminster Diocese. The ceremony was performed this week by Reverend Margaret Marquardt at St. Margaret's Cedar Cottage Church in Vancouver. Kalmuck said he felt the ceremony confirmed his relationship as spiritually equal to his parents.
Canada continues to move towards secular marriage equality as well. This week, at a press conference organized by the national group EGAL, Equality for Gays and Lesbians Everywhere, the leaders of three of the four opposition parliamentary parties and all three candidates for the leadership of the ruling Liberal Party each made statements of support for equal marriage rights for same-gender couples.
Meanwhile, the House of Commons Justice and Human Rights Committee is struggling to develop its report after holding a series of heated public hearings on the issue across the country. They've revealed they have no consensus, but they are unanimous in the belief that the current one-man, one-woman definition of marriage is no longer acceptable under Canadian law. The report due at the end of the month may have to include both a majority recommendation for equal marriage rights and a minority recommendation for a national partnership registry.
Sweden announced that it will now register its citizens' partnerships at its embassies in Lisbon, Madrid, and Paris. Sweden was one of the first nations to extend most marital rights to gay and lesbian couples and recently announced that it would register those relationships at its embassies in nations that had no objections. France, Spain, and Portugal were the first host countries to agree, with more expected to follow. However, the Swedish Federation for Homosexual, Bisexual, and Transsexual Rights wonders why host nation opinion should matter, since technically the embassies are Swedish territory.
But Puerto Rico's Supreme Court this week reaffirmed its own split decision that same-gender couples should not be covered by the provisions of the law against domestic violence. Justice Secretary Annabel Rodriguez called for amending the law in the legislature, which is currently overhauling the penal code with a bill that leaves the criminalization of homosexual acts intact. While gay and lesbian activists organized both a lobbying effort and their pride parade, five religious groups urged retention of the sodomy law at a legislative committee hearing.
Texas Republican Governor Rick Perry this week signed into law the so-called Defense of Marriage Act, prohibiting the state from recognizing either same-gender marriages another state may someday perform or their legal civil unions like Vermont's. Texas law already disallows gay and lesbian marriages within the state.
In Massachusetts, the state's four Roman Catholic bishops issued a statement to be read in parishes this weekend, calling on the faithful to actively oppose any state move to recognize same-gender couples and to actively support the proposed Marriage Affirmation and Protection Amendment to the state constitution, which would restrict legal marriage to one man and one woman.
Catholic opposition to legal recognition of same-gender couples could result in fines for three Mexican bishops. The Mexico Possible Party this week filed a formal complaint with the Attorney General, accusing the bishops of influencing voters in violation of federal election laws that specifically prohibit such religious intervention. The bishops had urged Catholics not to vote for parties supporting gay and lesbian unions or abortion, as Mexico Possible does.
The 2.5 million-member Presbyterian Church, USA, held its National General Assembly this week, and it was a roller coaster ride for those who want the denomination to open ordination to non-celibate gays and lesbians. Currently, the church restricts not only clergy but also elders and deacons to those who maintain either chastity or fidelity in marriage, which in the Presbyterian Church is exclusively heterosexual. Two previous General Assemblies voted to change that rule, but the move fell far short of ratification by the church's regional presbyteries. Conservatives were barely stopped this year from calling the first special meeting in the denomination's history to discuss failure to enforce the ban on ordaining partnered gays and lesbians, alleging some 30 violations, and liberals were expecting to spend this assembly defending against that movement. But the current assembly's first move was to elect to its top office a known supporter of those ordinations. Then a committee approved a proposal to lift the ordination ban to be considered by the full assembly once again, which came as something of a surprise. But when the matter came to the floor, the assembly chose to delay any vote until at least 2006, instead referring the question once again to a study group.
The Boy Scouts of America's exclusion of open gays sparked demonstrations outside its annual national meeting this week in Philadelphia, where the local Cradle of Liberty Council had just unanimously added sexual orientation to its own non-discrimination statement. Local and national leaders met to discuss their differences on the point, with neither making immediate changes. The Philadelphia group's decision was spurred in part by the urging of their United Way, which might otherwise have withheld funding. It's been suggested that BSA's national policy of discrimination, despite having been upheld by the U.S. Supreme Court, could call local councils' tax-exempt status into question in states with laws protecting gay and lesbian civil rights.
Kentucky's Democratic Governor Paul Patton this week signed an executive order prohibiting discrimination in state employment on grounds including sexual orientation and gender identity. While 14 states by law protect private as well as public workers from sexual orientation discrimination and 3 from gender identity discrimination, according to the Human Rights Campaign, Kentucky follows 9 others in prohibiting civil service discrimination against gays and lesbians by means of gubernatorial order, and the first to use such an order to protect transgenders.
The state government bill to equalize the age of consent in the Australian state of New South Wales passed its legislature's upper house this week by a surprisingly strong vote of nearly 60%. This means the age of consent for sex between males will be lowered from 18 to 16 years to match that for heterosexual and lesbian acts, as the lower house already voted its approval.
In the Australian state of Tasmania, the Law Reform Institute has recommended equal adoption rights for gay and lesbian couples in a report the state's attorney general presented to the state parliament this week. The state's ruling Australian Labor Party has already introduced legislation to advance legal recognition of same-gender couples, of which the adoptions proposal has proven by far the most controversial.
Openly gay filmmaker Gus Van Sant was the big winner at the prestigious Cannes Film Festival this week, taking Best Director honors, while his film Elephant was awarded the coveted Palme d'Or. The film he calls a musing about school violence is loosely based on the 1999 massacre at Columbine, Colorado, enacted by a cast of actual high school students with no prior film experience. It includes a kiss between the shooters, but Van Zandt sees that act as innocent and spontaneous, as the boys are planning to die when one has never been kissed.
And finally, it was close but no cigar at this week's Eurovision Song Contest for the controversial Russian pop duo Tattoo. Although Tattoo is an acronym for This Girl Loves That Girl, and the singers recently announced their plans to contract a legal partnership, they probably aren't a lesbian couple in real life. They do play one in their music videos, and at Eurovision, rumors abounded that they would shock their Latvian hosts with a raunchy act or even nudity. In fact, they only held hands and gave each other a quick kiss as they performed a song whose title translates as "Don't Believe, Don't Fear, Don't Ask." They were heavily favored to win the 48th edition of the contest, which may have drawn 160 million viewers across Europe and beyond. But in scoring based mainly on viewers' telephone votes, their total of 164 points left them in third place, 3 points shy of the winning entry, Turkey's Sertab Erener. That outcome didn't bother either their hosts or their competitors, whom they'd thoroughly offended with their uncooperative behavior and insulting remarks in the course of rehearsals. But although Russia hasn't done much for its gays and lesbians, it's not ready to let go of what appeared to be its big chance to win the international competition for the first time. Its state-owned broadcaster Channel One has officially declared that it discredits the voting results of the Eurovision Song Contest. It's filing a formal protest centered on a last-minute switch in Ireland from viewer voting to a national jury due to a dispute between Irish broadcaster RTE and their phone service that delayed the viewer vote results. Channel One believes the planned phone poll could easily have made the winning difference for Tattoo.
And that's News Wrap for the week ending May 31st, 2003, written by Cindy Friedman and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area. An informed community is a strong community. For This Way Out, I'm Cindy Friedman.
And I'm Greg Gordon.
Hi, we're the Nellie Olsons. I'm Nora Burns.
I'm Terrence Michael.
I'm John Cantwell.
And I'm Marissa Copeland.
If you're looking for a codependent lesbian relationship with a needy woman, call me. I'm waiting. I'll move in with you. I'll become allergic to your cats, and when you give them away, I'll break up with you. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. I'll wear your clothes. We'll go get counseling together and adopt a Nicaraguan crack baby, and then I'll sleep with all your friends. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. Oh, Mama, you're so good to me. I'll stalk you till you take out a restraining order on me. Is that how you like it? Oh, call me. I've got some hot, steamy issues for you. We'll process everything. I'll make your life hell. Call me. Oh, yeah.
Hi, I'm Chris Carter. Being the first openly gay government minister in New Zealand is a great privilege. Almost as great as being able to listen to a quality queer radio program like This Way Out, the international gay and lesbian radio magazine.
The Netherlands has the reputation around the world as a place where gays and lesbians have achieved absolute legal equality. That image goes back even farther than the country's two-year-old law granting full marriage rights to same-gender couples. It's safe to assume that lesbian and gay students and teachers are able to be safely out on Dutch schoolyards too, right? In a special feature from the Radio Netherlands program Dutch Horizons, hosted by Bertina Kral, reporter Ilana de Bak discovers that there's more to queer liberation than meets the law.
You're listening to Dutch Horizons. Radio Netherlands.
It appears that homosexuality in the Netherlands is not as readily accepted as many thought. A recently published report from the COC, the Dutch Association for the Integration of Homosexuality, shows that attitudes towards gay teachers and pupils have deteriorated. Many homosexual teachers and pupils find themselves increasingly isolated as a result of bullying, name-calling, and even physical abuse. the problem is partly caused by the increasing number of Muslim children at Dutch secondary schools. Most school teachers prefer not to raise the issue of homosexuality at all, as to avoid difficult discussions with pupils and parents from the country's immigrant populations. The COC has called on the government to take measures to address the problem. Ilona de Bock has been talking with gay students, a teacher and the chairman of the COC. She first spoke with Rob Tielman, a sociologist from Utrecht University, who conducted the research.
First of all, it confirms the experiences of teachers. There is a growing concern. There is a feeling that openly gay and lesbians are facing more and more intolerance in Dutch schools. And therefore, it was very good that we had the research, because many people thought that the gay and lesbian emancipation did succeed. We have opened now civil marriage for gay and lesbian couples, etc. So people assumed that when you have no discrimination in law anymore, that then automatically discrimination in society will disappear. It is our experience that in schools, especially in the big cities, there is a growing concern, and that there is a growing homophobia among young people, especially from Moroccan descent.
Henk Beerten, chairman of COC Nederland, didn't expect the outcome. After all, the COC has been giving information on the subject of homosexuality for over 50 years.
In a way, we're surprised, and it's the same as many people who have been active in the gay and lesbian organizations, because these kinds of signals we found in the 60s of the last century and also in the 70s. And throughout those years, we've been trying to educate and to give information. And a lot has changed. And of course, there are schools where teachers are having a positive attitude. But to find such a widespread still negative situation was still a surprise. We thought we'd had achieved more in the last couple of years. The main thing for students, for children, is that they don't feel support when they need it, which means that teachers don't feel that there's a problem with their sexuality and that they're outcast. The children themselves feel that they can't express themselves the way they are. So they feel that they're in like a vacuum as far as that part of their personality is concerned.
Maybe Dutch society became too complacent. Maybe we thought everything that could be done for gays and lesbians had been done. Henk Beerten.
The problem arises from the fact that everybody thinks that everything is arranged and realized in such a liberal and positive way in Holland that there's no need to talk about it anymore, nor to make a specific point of the fact that you're gay. When you're talking about it in schools, a lot of times colleagues and also the management will say, why do you want to bring it up? I don't bring up my heterosexuality all the time. Whereas they don't see that the fact that you talk about the fact that you're gay or that you have a boyfriend or you go on holiday with your boyfriend, that that is the same as talking about your children, your partner, if that's a woman, if you're a man and so forth. So it is perceived as being pushing it down people's throats if you're talking about the fact that you're gay. What we're striving for as COC in Nederland is that that should not be a problem at all anywhere, to bring up the fact that you're gay, and that shouldn't be seen and perceived as pushing your homosexuality.
Rob Tielman can point out anyone responsible for the growing intolerance. It's not just one group or organization's fault. Society as a whole is to blame.
Well, I think we were too confident in the Netherlands that we are a tolerant country and that the emancipation of gay and lesbians was successful, etc. And we were not aware of the consequences of the fact that we have now in the big cities quite a large minority of people with an Islamic background, and that we indeed have a similar problem as we had 40, 50 years ago with some Catholic and some Protestant groups that were anti-homosexual. Nowadays, the vast majority of the Dutch are against discrimination of gays and lesbians. But in the Islamic community, there is a real problem, especially for gays and lesbians in the minority itself.
Tielman thinks intolerance starts at a young age when children are developing their sexuality, their identity, and therefore their opinions.
The problems start with puberty, when children are becoming aware of their sexuality and also, of course, as are confronted with the question, am I heterosexual or am I homosexual? And in that period of insecurity, we often see that the insecurity in yourself is fighted against by bullying others who are openly gay or lesbian. And therefore, in general, you can say the more homophobic people are, the more likely it is that they are oppressing their own homosexual feelings. I mean, if you are 100% heterosexual, why should you be challenged by the fact that there are homosexuals? Those who feel homosexuality as a danger obviously have a problem with homosexuality.
Does that go for Islamic people as well?
It does go for Moroccan boys. We do know from cultural anthropological research that in certain cultures, and Morocco is one of them, it is very common for boys to have sex among each other, especially due to the fact that, men and women are separated very clearly in society. You do see that both men and boys among themselves and women and girls among themselves do have sex. But as a matter of fact, it is impossible to talk about it. So being it a taboo, living then suddenly in a country where these topics are very openly discussed, that explains quite a lot why homophobia is so extreme, especially among Moroccan boys.
Being scared or wary of a gay teacher is a common problem among boys. Math teacher Sip Dahan has seen it a lot in his 15 years of teaching.
Especially the boys, when they are 30, 40, 15, 16 or 17, they think it's a little bit scary. That was always the case. So I think in the best period of time, we had something like 50, 60% of all the pupils who said it's okay to be gay. I'm not gay, but it's okay. I like them to be my friends. But a big percentage always said, keep away from me. Don't touch me. I'm afraid of you. I think you're dirty or whatever. That was always, there.
What about the gay pupils? Maurice Driessens, now a university student, didn't dare tell his friends in high school he's gay.
Well, I told my mother when I was 16, so she was the first one. It took about 2 years before I told my first friends when I went to college.
Why did it take you so long? Didn't you trust your friends in high school?
I knew they were like the straight acting bullies everybody knows in high school. They were really tough and, well, there were, never was a real good moment. And I never knew, but you know, like you start comparing yourself with other gay people and I never thought I was gay. I didn't want to believe it. And it took me 2 years since I told my mother before I could accept it for myself.
Maurice is sure he's gay. Does coming out change a person?
Well, the only difference is that I'm not trying to be straight. It's a totally different thing when you're not having to be acting in a really tough way, you know, like here's me, the straight Maurice or something. It's a difference in you have to feel it. It's really difficult to explain. And what the difference is between just being gay openly and being gay as a secret. And it's a more emotional kind of revelation for yourself. You have more self-esteem. When you're, when you've made the decision to come out and say to everybody, hey, I'm gay, it gives you more self-esteem because once you've done that, there's nothing that can be as difficult as coming out. Or at least that's what it looks like when you're 16.
Maarten Grootel did come out when he was in high school. At 16, he decided to tell the world he's gay.
All the girls were much easier towards me and all the guys were really a lot harder on me. They were avoiding me like I've got some kind of contagious disease.
Did they bully you?
Well, actually, I've been bullied the whole high school. In the whole high school, I was really teased about me not being the most butch man on earth. When I came out, it kind of stopped for a little while, actually, because then they were realizing, well, oh, the thing that we were teasing him about are really true, so now it's not actually funny anymore. But a week after that, they just started again, because it's really weird for them to realize that someone can be different than other people.
Did they call you names or use physical violence?
Yes, they did, actually. A lot of name-calling. And there were some times when people just spitted on me or hit me or just abused me, actually. But it wasn't really that rough. It wasn't really like I was totally beaten up or something and landed in a hospital. They were just, they were keeping it cool, so to speak. But it was still a really rough time for me in high school.
You would expect Maarten to go to his teachers to complain about his classmates, but no.
The male teachers were also really strange for me. They were really not really talking to me. Actually, I didn't have a really good bond with any of the teachers, but the male teachers just really talked less to me after I came out. And the female teachers, they were okay with it, but still they didn't have like a kind of bond with the students because it's still a student-teacher relationship. So they didn't really help out. I was totally actually on my own. And there were two gay teachers, one female and one male, but they left the school before I came out. So I was the only one in school left.
Would you have liked your teachers helping you or supporting you?
Well, actually, yeah, I would have liked it. High school was really rough for me because I had the feeling that I could only depend on the friends that I had. But when they were gone, I was really totally alone and I couldn't go anywhere. So usually what my teachers did were just literally saying to those people, well, you shouldn't do that. And that was that.
The COC would like to see that homosexuality is discussed in special classes. They think that when children know about homosexuality, they are more likely to accept it. Does Maarten agree?
I think in my class it wouldn't have made a lot of difference. People already knew there were gay people, and people still go around teasing people who are gay just because they're different. So I think homosexuality and being gay and what it's all about wouldn't change a lot because people can imagine, but they don't understand. And that's a really big difference.
Henk Beerten sees a new path for the COC. They are going to try and get the report to as many schools as possible, and they will try to get the new Minister of Education to focus on homosexuality in schools as well.
I think people should not be ashamed about talking about their homosexuality or their sexuality in general, or to be open about it. And I think too many people feel a pressure not to make it explicit that they're gay or lesbian or bisexual, because they feel that it's not appropriate to talk about it anywhere. And I think that has to change, because there's lots of situations where it should not be a problem at all to make clear that you have a boyfriend or you have a girlfriend or you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, because everybody talks about sex all the time. Look at television, look at all the magazines. It's straight sexuality all the time. It just bursts off the pages and from your TV screen. So that is apparently perceived as being normal and acceptable. And why should it be acceptable that gays and lesbians are all also open and explicit about it without it being a problem? That's what we're going for.
Henk Beerten, chairman of the COC, the Dutch Association for the Integration of Homosexuality. More on this issue can be found on our website. The address is www.rnw.nl. www.rnw.nl.
That report by Ilana de Bock from the Radio Netherlands program Dutch Horizons, hosted by Bertina Kral. Thanks for choosing This Way Out, the international lesbian and gay radio magazine. This week, Cindy Friedman, Fensberry, Rox Walkner, and Graham Underhill contributed program material. Special thanks to Bertina Kral, Ilana de Bock, and Radio Netherlands. Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. Remember, you can listen to This Way Out anytime online, exclusively on Planet Out. There's a link at our website, thiswayout.org. Some This Way Out operating expenses are funded by a grant from the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation and through direct charitable donations from our listeners. We can't survive without you. To find out how you can help keep This Way Out on the air and get some queer audio history and timeless music in the bargain, please visit our website at thiswayout.org, email us at tworadio@aol.com, or write to us at Post Office Box 38327, Los Angeles, California, 90038, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappell and the entire This Way Out family, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening on KZYN X-Philo, Willits, Ukiah, California, WEFT, Champaign-Urbana, Illinois, Fresh Radio, Nelson, Marlborough, New Zealand, and more than 135 other stations around the world, including this community radio station. And we hope you'll stay tuned.